for looking back. This life of Lot, the righteous Lot, is an interesting story to say the least, and I'm so grateful that God has allowed me to stumble upon this storyline of a man who we probably didn't know much about. But in the pages of scriptures, in these short chapters, we have gleaned now for 20 weeks the life of a believer who has fallen away from the Lord and has reluctantly resisted God's rescue efforts of his life. God did in these verses what he had been warning Lot about the whole time. In other words, what God said he was going to do, he did it. And the one thing I need you to know is that whenever you read God's word, now how does God communicate today in this dispensation in time? He does not talk to you through your television. Okay? A bird is not just going to fly down and start whispering in your ears. God told me to tell you. God communicates in this way, and that is through his word. You with me? Whatever God says in this word, believe it. It may not make sense today. Amen. I remember when I, in my attempts to change my life, amen, that I went to a church, I was an unbeliever, and even though it was a counterfeit gospel, I thought I was saved, and I believe that the true testament to your salvation is that, like Jeremiah, this word is like fire shut up in your bones. That the word of God becomes real important to your life. But as an unbeliever, I couldn't read but one book in the Bible. And that was Psalm 27. Everything else was mumble jumble. Everything was just gooblygosh. Amen. It made no sense. I don't know about you. Have you ever tried to sit down and read a book that was so technical in nature and you had no interest in it? And it just made no sense? That's the same thing that I felt as an unbeliever. But when I truly gave my life to Jesus, the scripture became real to me, where it says that the word of God is living, is active, is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and is able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Now I'm saying all of this to get to where I'm going, to let you know that whatever God says in his word, it's going to happen. Are you with me? I'm going to say it one more time. It's going to happen. Whether you want it or not, it's going to happen. Lot did not care, or at least he didn't think, that the destruction was going to be to this degree. This is why previously I told you he pretended. Come on, help me somebody. That he couldn't get to the mountains. He was so interested in the world that he didn't want to get to safety. He wanted to stay close to the world. Can I tell you something? That's a stronghold. And I want to tell you something, that when the righteous fall, there's always a feeling like it's not going to be that bad. Things are going to work out. But the problem with this is that if God says it, that settles it. Lot now settles for little. He's in Zorah. Now, Zorah is north of the Dead Sea. I'm trying to help you with some symbolisms here. Here's the thing. Where Sodom and Gomorrah was and where Zorah was surrounded by the Dead Sea. Nothing going in, nothing coming out. But that same Dead Sea in prophecy, the Bible says one day it will be filled with living waters. Are you following me? Here's what I'm trying to say to you. You can go from bad to worse. But here's the thing I want you to do. Pay attention to your life. Pay attention to the surroundings, because the surroundings and the people you surround yourself with will tell a story. Are you with me? Some of us are hanging around Dead Sea people in Dead Sea situations. Same dead ends that you're running into. You want to make something work and it will never work. Why? Because that person don't know about the living water. I wish I had somebody. Lot thought that God was going to give him a pass. You know, he's thinking that this will pass and everything will go back, watch this, to regular. You know what I realized? I realized that Lot loved the world more than his own family. He was willing to sacrifice everything to keep the status. What was in Sodom and Gomorrah? Homosexuality. And amongst a lot of other things. Amen. Watch this. He wanted to keep his status at all cost. Can I ask you something? What are you holding on to right now at all cost, that God is telling you to let go of? And watch this. And then not only that, but we make conveniences, and we compromise certain things, and then we say praise the Lord at the end of it. And God has already told you to get out of there. At some point, the thing that we're chasing, if we don't see any progress, we may have to reevaluate our pursuits. Every day is a choice. You know what every day, do you know what the choice is? The choice is either to look forward or look backwards. You could either look forward to God's life-giving grace, or you could look backwards, watch this, towards the sin-saturated world. Will you choose self-focus or God-focus? You better write that down somewhere. How will you be memorialized? As someone who pursued pleasure? Oh, I wish I had somebody. Or someone who profited from sanctification? See, here lies choices. And there's a price. I don't think some of you know it. But the price for looking back, it's a heavy price. I got five things I want to show you. Verse 23 says, the sun, ain't that something? After midnight. After night, the sun has now risen. God orchestrated the sun to rise. And the sun now has risen over the earth. He has ordained it as such. But you got to look at the text. When Lot came to Zorah, all night they are going through. They're headed to Zorah. It wasn't a day's trip. It wasn't this short trip. But they spent the night traveling. Lot with a whole lot of reluctance. Can I ask you a question? Have you ever had to be forced to do something? Huh? Have you had, like for real, like you really had to be forced to do it to the point where you're like, you're doing it, but you're not doing it. You're heading in that direction, but you don't feel it. Your feet is heading to where you need to go, but your heart is back in Sodom. Lot lost his home, his possessions, his wealth, and most tragic of all, Lot lost his family first in spirit. He lost them spiritually. He was never a leader. He lost them spiritually. Watch this. But here he is, he's heading to this place that he suggested that he really didn't want to go to. So he got to Zoar, and I believe that the price for looking back will first be a life full of regrets. Regrets. Why do I say regrets? The sun has risen, and he can see his situation. Oh, wish I had somebody. He went through night, but now he sees his situation. But the price for looking back is a life full of regrets. Anybody got some regrets? Watch this, and watch this. And the person that looks back needs to understand that it's not about regrets as much as about our conscience, our values, thinking I should have done better. I should have listened. I should have did what God told me to do. I should have did what mom and dad. Listen, I lived my life right here with a lot of regrets. God was trying to take me to the mountain, but I was trying to go to little. And the regrets that I lived with. Oh boy, it's quiet in here. Yeah, I told you, I don't want no quiet churches, man. So I need some amen and some claps or something. Shoot. Quit playing me. I work hard studying. Amen. Regrets. Ask your neighbor, do you have any regrets? But ask your neighbor, do you want to pay the price for looking back? And one of the part of that price is what? Regrets. How many regret some stuff? Wish you would have did it better. Wish you would have stayed the course. Wish you would not have given up. Wish you would have stayed with God and did what he told you to do. Come on, help me somebody. Lot may not say it, but that's how he feels. Watch this. Watch verse 24. Verse 24 says now, the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone, and what? From the Lord, out of where? This wasn't no freak accident. This wasn't a cigarette accident. Fell asleep with a cigarette and the house burned down. It wasn't that. You know what I love about God? God never hides what he does. And God always owns up to what he says he's going to do. Listen. The sulfur, that's what it was. And the gases that was mixed together is where you come up with this. Archaeological digs have shown that when you go to Sodom today, there's still the sulfur burns in Sodom and Gomorrah today. We didn't get a chance to go there because they were fighting over there. But we passed by there as we were going to the Dead Sea. So this is real. Now let me tell you what brimstone means. So some of you say, fire and brimstone, they preach fire and brimstone. Okay, the word brimstone in the New Testament, the word has the idea, it literally means God's fire. Listen to me. God destroys Sodom because of the sin of Sodom. You with me? What do you think happens in a life of a person that God is trying to get to pull back? This is righteous Lot. So not only the price for looking back will be a life full of regrets, but the second thing is the price for looking back will be a life full of resentment. Oh, man, boy. That's why some of you are so bitter and angry and upset all the time about nothing, about just nothing, just straight up, just. And can I say this? Lot's resentment is against God. The text doesn't say that, but what I am saying is, here's Lot looking at everything he built go up in smoke. Come on, help me, somebody. And watch this. The difference is this. Job, when he lost everything, he bowed down and worshiped God. Lot, when he lost everything, became a very resentful person. What is resentment? Oh, I wish I had somebody. It's close to anger. It's the cousin of bitterness. Resenting the one who destroyed everything I've worked for. Like, you didn't work for nothing. You lived in a house that you didn't build. Come on, help me, somebody. You took stuff from the earth that you didn't grow. Come on, I fed you. I clothed you. I took care of you. And you have the audacity, Lot. But this is the price. And I ask you today, are you willing to pay this price? Now, I know looking back may look good because you see everybody on Instagram. Yeah. You're looking at the wrong thing, baby. Those filters. They're showing you that they're at the club till 2, 3 in the morning, and you sit there and say, I got to go to church on Sunday morning. Come on, help me, somebody. Watch this. In his moments of facts, Lot didn't repent. He was remorseful. He wasn't even remorseful. He resented God. Some people resent God just like that today. Why did God take my mama? God didn't take your mama. Okay? Why did God take my husband and my wife? God didn't take your husband or wife. Sin did. Death did. But here's what you should be thanking God for. He defeated death. He conquered death so that your loved ones can transfer from this life to the next. But we got the audacity to be mad at God because things just ain't going the way I want it to go. Just because you're doing right doesn't mean everything is just going to work out all of a sudden for you. What you want a reward for doing right? Do right anyhow. Doing right becomes a way of life. Lot wasn't remorseful. He wasn't repentant. He had no real relationship with God. Yet God had a relationship with him. Yet God never gave up on him. Yet God kept him. Yet God rescued him. Come on, help me, somebody. The grace of God is what I'm trying to get you to see. That even in our depravity, God still steps in. You know why I believe God stepped in on Lot? Because God knows that Lot couldn't save himself. Same thing with us. And then we get saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. And then here we go forgetting how good he's been. Come on, help me. How great he's been. Lord rained fire and brimstone. In verse 25, it says, and he overthrew those cities. And it's an interesting piece here about the valley. You see, I'm going to preach on the valleys one day. See, the valley was designed in this time for safety. In other words, God is saying there's no way you can run from my wrath. There's no place you can hide from my path. There are different valleys. There's the valley of Baca. That's bitterness. There's the valley of the shadow of death. There's the valley of peace. There's the valley of joy. Come on and help me, somebody. These valleys are important. There's details here that you got to be careful of and you got to pay attention to. But here's the next price for looking back. You ready? The price for looking back will be a life of rebellion. You know what Lot said? All right, forget it. I ain't never going back. I ain't going back to my uncle's house. I ain't going back to Sodom. Look what's happening to Sodom right now. Look at everything I built. Look how it's crumbled down. So you know what I'm going to do? Rather than return to God, I'm going to rebel. The natural ingredients of this destruction put Lot in a place where he's like, forget it. There were five cities total that got destroyed. Every city that Lot thought he could go back to, except for Zorah, was destroyed. So what do you do when you lose everything? Huh? Now let me ask you a question, all right? How much can you take before you return to God? I'm just saying, like, how much do you have to go through in order to see that God is trying to rescue you, but here you are rebelling? Oh, Lord. Can I help you for a second? Some of us we're not aggressive rebellion, rebellious people. No. We passively rebel. We rebel by not doing what we're supposed to do. We rebel by being reluctant about serving God, about doing what we have to do for His glory. We just don't show up. That's rebellion. I ain't going nowhere. Now I'm sure I ain't worried about that. But God has been so good to you. You ever notice how in your life, every now and then, you got to have a real reality check? Now I'm talking about a real reality check where stuff just start going crazy. I'll tell your neighbor, reality check. And you have a choice in your reality check to rebel, repent, and return. But not so with Lot. The price that he's paying is high. Why was Lot rebellious? Because he had turned his heart totally away from God. Lord, keep me from rebellion. Keep me from regrets. Keep me from resentment. Help me not to be this kind of person. Listen, you want to blame everybody for what happened to you? Stop blaming everybody for what happened to you. Here's what I'm trying to say. It's bigger than you. God wants us to be Christ-like. Forgiveness. But don't forgive when you want to forgive. Forgive because you see everything falling apart anyways, so why not release it? The price for looking back. Check this out. Let me show you the rest of this text right here. Look what it says here. It says right here now, verse 25. So we know the cities are burnt down, the valleys are gone. He couldn't even get back to the valley. And all the, and all who? Of the what? And what grew? Why the details, Lord? You know, when the children of Israel got to the sea, the Red Sea, Pharaoh's on their backs, the Red Sea before them, they're between a rock and a hard place, nowhere to go. And then God opens the Red Sea. Then God closes the Red Sea on Pharaoh So in other words, what God was doing, he was cutting off any options. That's what God was doing with Lot. Lot, you ain't got no options. Can I ask you something? Some of you got backup plans. Yep, you do. You got backup plans. You got all kinds of stuff. You got all kinds of plans. Watch this. You really want to return to a life of comfort. And God says, I want to give you a better life. I don't want to give you comfort. I want to give you peace and comfort. See, God was trying to rescue Lot. Don't ever forget the context. But can I tell you something? Lot was bitter at this point. So the price for looking back, the next price, will be a life of revenge. Oh, I'm going to get you. Imagine this rebellious man think that somehow his non-compliance to God was his revenge. Lord have mercy. That's how some people feel. I just ain't going to get back because they're paying the price for looking back. He was determined to get revenge. And later we'll see that. Four cities are destroyed. The idea here of overthrowing means that the people standing against God were standing up in his face and cursing him. They were standing against him, and Lot didn't see anything wrong with that. Righteous Lot. Watch this. I'm going to spend some time here. This is the verse I want to spend a little time on. That's why I got through these. Verse 26 is key. Now, let's talk about this, because y'all done taught it and y'all done talked about it, and I hear people say it all the time, pillow song. Let's get a good expositional on this. Look what he says. He says, but his wife, okay, the wife who is the weaker vessel, not weak in strength and all that kind of stuff, but in essence, weak emotionally. The makeup of a woman is soft, supposed to be. Lord have mercy. Some of you women are hard, you know, because you keep looking back. Matter of fact, you're soft in church, but when you go out there, you're hard. Mm-hmm. Here's the first thing you need to do. Write these things down, but I'll tell you. The price of looking back, let me give you the point first, will be a life full of permanent ruin. I'm sorry to say it, there are some believers who will never return to Jesus Christ until death. It's a sad testimony, but that's what it is. Because they're in love with the wrong thing, person. They love the world. Lot's wife, watch this, she loved the world. She loved the world just as much or even more than her husband. At least Lot was smart enough not to look back. But where did she get that love? Where did she learn that love? All right? Listen, what if God would have shown mercy to Lot's wife? What if he would have allowed her to flee the wickedness of Sodom to a better place? All the time, she was harboring in her heart the love for her past. Here's what she would have done. She would have brought the virus of Sodom's wickedness with her. And she would have infected the people in the new life. So God had to get rid of the infection, the virus. Can I tell you something? Pay attention. It's the people closest to you that's infecting you. God, what if God would have allowed her to come with them? Lot's wife had a lot of influence over him, but she had the virus of Sodom's wickedness. She would have brought, listen, some of you, let me tell you something. You move from the hood to the good, but the virus is still there. House is still dirty. Stuff is still jacked up. Can't get along because your attitude is jacked up because you still have Sodom in you. You're wondering why we trying to do better with our lives, but we keep going backwards. We can't manage our money. We can't manage our time. I'm going to preach by myself. You can't do stuff right. It's always a return back to the same cycle over and over again because, boo, you're infected. You ain't got corona. You got Sodom. And rather than allow her to preserve, watch this, the cherished memory of Sodom in a new place, God preserves her as a pillar of salt. She became a memorial for the preservation of evil. When you look at Lot's wife, it's a memorial of evil. A warning. There are some people you need to pay attention to. Their lives are a warning. Frozen in time. Listen, listen, listen. See, her half gaze in mid-moment end up being the long gaze. By looking back at the evil cities, she betrayed her secret longing for that way of life. But here's the thing you need to know about Lot's wife. God wasn't trying to save Lot's wife. God was trying to save Lot. And what Lot did not do, 52 weeks of devotion. He did not develop his family godly, in a godly way. It was pop culture. Pray when we want to. No deep devotion, no dedication to God. Can I tell you something? Can I tell you something? She was deemed unworthy to be saved. You know why? Because there she is, a pillar of salt. Imagine that. Now, here's the thing you need to know. Luke 17, don't go there. Reference it. The New Testament, Jesus is talking to the disciples. He tells them this. He says, it was the same as happened in the days of Lot. Check this out. Jesus gives us a commentary of what was going on in Sodom. He says they were eating. In other words, he was writing about being prepared for his coming. Luke chapter 17 says, listen, we're living our lives, but we got to know that Jesus is coming back. I don't know what you're living for, but I hope you're living to know that he's coming back. But Jesus says it was the same as happened in the days of Lot. Can I help you with something? Those days are here now. Watch this. They were eating. Oh, yeah, man. Papa Do's and Rhoda Do's and all the other Do's they got. Everywhere. Always at the chicken house. Always want to eat. Always want to eat. They were drinking. They were buying, they were selling, they were building bigger house, they were planting, they were building. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven, and he destroyed it all. Then it says, remember Lot's wife. And here's what it says about Lot's wife. Luke 17. You ready? Watch this. I'm going to give it to you. Whoever seeks to keep his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life will preserve it. We are doing everything to preserve our lives. Us. It's all about us, about my life, what I got to do, what I got to do, how I got to live. God says, you're not even living for me. And if you ain't living for me, you're losing your life even now. Tell your neighbor, that's permanent ruin. That's the price. The ultimate price. He says, remember. The text says, remember Lot's wife as a testimony. Some of us were so selfish about our lives. We don't share. I got to beg you to serve. Come on, man. You listen, if you're a preacher, where's your converts? But if you want comfort, and you got a whole long laundry list of why you can't, are you trying to preserve your life so much so? Jesus says you're going to lose it anyhow. But he says whoever loses his life. What does that mean to lose your life? I'm talking about to give your life totally. Not this halfway stuff we be doing. When we feel like it. Are you willing? They were eating. They were drinking. They were partying. They were living like this is what they never believed, that God would do something like that. Can I tell you something? We're waiting for the next climax. Are you willing to take the risk? Are you trying to save your life so much so that you're not willing to lose it for his sake? Lot's wife becomes now a great illustration. Here's what I mean when he says lose your life. You can lose your life to the world and get stuck like a pillar of salt. No movement, same cycle, drinking the same coffee every day, smoking the same cigarettes every day, doing the same stuff every day, and you're not impacting the kingdom. People treat church today like it's an option. But in all actuality, it's not. We have to be about the Father's business. You cannot mix unleaded diesel fuel with regular fuel. Can't mix them. And think you're going to go somewhere. The moment you introduce diesel and unleaded into the same unleaded only engine, what you've done is you've canceled the unleaded by the fact of the diesel. And just because it looked like gas doesn't mean it's going to help you. What we do as Christian is we come to church to get unleaded on Sunday. Then on Monday we go to the world and we get diesel or diesel. And we wonder why we're chugging along. Why our lives are so messed up. Why we're stuck. Jesus said, whosoever wishes. He says, remember Lot's wife. Whosoever wishes to save his life will lose it. And whosoever loses his life, what I'm saying, what Jesus is saying, get caught up in me. And you'll begin to live for real. Can I tell you something? He'll give you a life you never had. But you'll enjoy the things that you have. Because you're about the Father.